Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana is pleased to present to you the marrow of the message. This message was preached on March 10th, 2013. It's part 5 of our Person and Work of the Holy Spirit mini-series. We're spending the first part of this year looking at the things that we hold dear doctrinally as a church, and we're on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Today, focusing on the work of the Spirit in the life of the church. Now, when we say church, we speak of a unique assembly, and I mean unique. It's unlike any other assembly on the face of the earth. It's a divinely assembled people comprised of the elect of God, chosen of God, dearly loved of God, a people for whom Christ gave himself. The Father gave the Son gave himself for his people. And through his life of obedience and through his sacrificial death on the cross, we have peace with God. We've been reconciled to God through Christ, through the death of Christ, and through his resurrection, we've been justified. Praise the Lord. This is good news for us. And I think we oftentimes think of, I know we oftentimes equate the church with a gathering of like-minded people, and it truly is a gathering of like-minded individuals, but it's so much more. The church is a unity of believers baptized by Christ himself. A unity of believers baptized by Christ himself in one spirit into one body. Now, we'll look at each of these points throughout the message, but beginning with, it's a unity of believers. It's the church is Christ's body. It's the body of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 tells us very clearly, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. There's no dead weight to the body of Christ. Every person that belongs to Christ, by grace through faith, having been born again through the working of the Holy Spirit, according to the will of God, is part of the body of Christ. Now, we make mention of this, that we're the body of Christ, we're united, we're a unity of believers, we're baptized by Christ. Now, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 tells us this because it's John the Baptist who is explaining of the work of Christ and of his baptism in comparison to the baptism that Jesus Christ will bring. And here's what John said, I baptize with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It is Christ who baptizes his church. It's his church. He immerses us into his life, into his body, by grace, according to the grace of God, through faith in his blood. And we are baptized by Christ himself in one spirit. Now, the NIV uses the word by the Spirit, but it's probably more correct to say in one spirit. And the significance of this is seen in that no matter how broad and how vast the body is, around the world there is one spirit. We're baptized in one spirit, not many spirits, but one spirit. If we look at the upper room, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon 120 believers who were in the upper room. Now, it's clear, though the Spirit settled upon each one as by tongues of fire, Acts chapter 2, verse 2 tells us that the Holy Spirit filled the room. The Holy Spirit filled the room. That's of significance for us because when Paul writes, baptized in one Spirit, into one body, we have to understand we are a unity of believers. We are a unity as in the body being a unit. And we'll talk more about this in the message as we go along. So it's important for us to see that this body of believers, the church is unique, a divinely assembled people that God has brought together according to his will through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely essential for us to understand this. So when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, I think we get a pretty good idea of what is going on. I'll read it for us. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were baptized, we were all baptized in one spirit, into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one spirit to drink. Unity, unity, unity. Now the NIV uses the word the body is a unit, and that's a good description. It describes a unity of parts. Many different parts, but parts that function in unity. There's not a dead part on the body. Sooner or later it will be cast off, but in the body of Christ it's all living. It's the living body through the indwelling Holy Spirit. So it's important for us to get that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 describes continually, it lets us just see clearly, I should say, that though the body is outwardly diverse, Paul describes Jews and Greeks and slave and free, outwardly there's diversity, but in the Spirit there's a unity in the Spirit, in one Spirit. For the church then, we must recognize that God's supreme gift to the church, what binds us together is the Holy Spirit. What unites us together is the Holy Spirit. Our unity in Christ is more than just an ideal. It's more than just theology. It is a unity wherein we are knit together, welded together through the work in the Holy Spirit into one body. Baptized by Christ in one Spirit into one body. Wow, I love that. Can you believe that? What a majestic, beautiful, profound gift God has provided for us. And that is true. The Holy Spirit is a supreme gift from God to us, to the church, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus himself, the eternal Son of God, was God's unspeakable gift for the church. Christ gave himself for the church. The Holy Spirit is the gift from God given to the church. So the Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church. Peter reinforced the truth in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when he spoke about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And also when Peter traveled to Cornelius's house, and we see the first Gentile converts in Acts chapter 10, we have it just reinforced once again that this same Spirit, an extension of Pentecost, is poured out among the church of the Gentiles, uniting the body of Christ, whether Jew or Greek, Jew or Gentile, into one body. It's the same Holy Spirit and is a gift of the Holy Spirit. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost was absolutely unique and important, because on that day, the company of believers, on that day there was more than just 3,000 people, or sorry, 120 people in the upper room that said, you know what, we all are committed to believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're committed to furthering His name. It was through the outpouring of the Spirit that these people were spiritually united as one body, the body of Christ, spiritually assembled, spiritually put together, spiritually welded, spiritually knit to Christ, the living head. It is a spiritual union we have with Christ through the Holy Spirit. And we're united to Christ forever and ever and ever. He has no dead parts. Everything of Christ is life. And since that time, since the day of Pentecost, since the outpouring continues. Never once has the Holy Spirit ceased in keeping the unity of Christ and His body. Never once. And there's a sense then that the Spirit of Pentecost remains, because He shall not fail. What God has ordained will be accomplished in Christ Jesus and His body. So in the same sense, when the outpouring of the Spirit occurred on the house of Cornelius, because you could say, well, wasn't that a new Pentecost? You had the day of Pentecost when the Spirit was poured out among the Jews, and even then when the preaching of Peter occurred and 3,000 souls were saved that day, were added to the body of Christ. You know, when the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that 3,000 were added to the number, it's more proper to translate it, 3,000 were added to the body of Christ that day. It was the work of the Spirit knitting these believers to the body of Christ. What prolific spiritual growth occurred in one act of preaching the word, so you could say, boy, the spirit of Pentecost continued as the word was preached, and 3,000 people, 3,000 Jewish people believed. But on into Acts chapter 10, we see the Holy Spirit poured out upon the Gentiles. And it's an extension of the blessing of Pentecost, of the Holy Spirit extending from the Jewish church to the Gentile church, filling the entire body of which Christ is the head. We can't lose sight of this. I think it's absolutely beautiful. People don't become knit to Christ after some point in time of having believed, because the Spirit quickens or brings from death to life, regenerates, gives new birth to a soul. That person at that point is knit, assembled to the body of Christ, becomes part of the living head. Paul illustrates the working of the Spirit in forming a unity of believers under one head in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. He uses the illustration of the body in verse 12. He says, the body is a unit. We can look in the mirror and say, yep, that's true. We can look at one another and see that that's true. We can look at the body and say, it really does have many parts, inwardly and outwardly. And each part is diverse in function and purpose. Even a right hand is diverse from the left hand, and they each have a purpose and a function. But there's a formation of one body. And this body is a unity. Each part of the natural body participates in varying degrees in the natural life, depending on what you do. Each part works. Some work, it seems they work harder than the other, varying degrees in the natural life. The heart is the center, it would seem, or the brain, you could say, is the center participant in the natural life of the body. But he says, so we can see this illustration clearly, but when he connects Christ to this illustration, then he says it like this: so it is with Christ. In other words, so it is with his body. So it is with Christ. You can't separate Christ from his body. He says, the body is a unit, so it is with Christ. The body has many parts, so it is with Christ. And though it's parts form, though it's all parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. Each part functions together as a unity. Remember, there's outward diversity, but inward unity, spiritual unity. We can look different, we can sound different, we can think different, but there is a knitting together that is spiritual and permanent. Each part of the church, or each part of the body, or you might even just say each believer, participates in the life of Christ. And we could say even in varying degrees. Because sanctification, as we studied last week, we looked a little bit at the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Each of us are progressing at different paces. But we're knit together in Christ through the Spirit. We are one body, inseparable from Christ our head. In verse 13, Paul explains, for we were all baptized in one Spirit. He's speaking about the whole church. We were all baptized in one Spirit. Remember, Jesus said in John chapter 16 that the Spirit will take from what is mine, Jesus said, take from what is mine and make it known to you. He will take from me the very life and vitality, the life of God in Christ, and give to the church. The vitality of the church is the very life of God through the Spirit. We've been baptized in one Spirit into one body. The church is alive. The church is alive. We can look around and we can find fault with churches. We can say, well, the church is in a sad state of affairs. Friends, the church is fine. The true church of Jesus Christ is perfectly attached to the head. There is the work of sanctification. There is the growing up in varying degrees of progress. But the church is fine. The bride of Christ is being prepared. A bride beautiful, prepared for her groom. Let's not be among those who find fault with the true church of Jesus Christ. We can see problems within fellowships, we can see problems within denominations, but we cannot say the church herself, the beautiful body of Christ, which is hidden. It's tucked away in this world. It's hidden. It's cloaked right now. Looks like everything else, it's even oftentimes looking very, very poorly, but the church, Christ's bride, is holy and being adorned with beauty. Never forget it. Never forget it. The church is alive because of our unity in God through the working of the Holy Spirit. Christ baptized us in or with the Spirit, and so we're inseparably connected with our glorified Christ in heaven. Let's not live as though we're orphans. Let's not live as though we fail. We are part of the victorious, triumphant King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The church is triumphant because where Christ the King goes and where he has been victorious, we are victorious with him, and he is victorious and we are with him because he is with us. The church is sustained through the abiding presence of God through the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit who is our comforter. It's the Spirit who is our counselor. We're kept, we're counseled, we're given encouragement and courage through the Holy Spirit. You can look at John 15:26 to see this. The gift of the Spirit is the real invisible abiding presence of Christ. We should pray to be full of the Holy Spirit, that we can enjoy the abiding presence of Christ. Remember, Jesus said, "Abide with me and I'll abide with you." Is our church, is our fellowship abiding with Christ? Hey, it's not by our own strength, it's by the Spirit. Humble ourselves before the Spirit of God. Look at John 16:16, and you'll see this. And it's through the work of the Spirit that the church enjoys fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's because we're united in one Spirit and a unity knit and welded together by the Spirit that we have fellowship with God. The Spirit reveals Christ, and Christ reveals the Father. Look, let's turn to John chapter 14, verse 23. This is a profoundly important verse for us to understand, especially if we feel alone. We are part of something much bigger than ourselves, something much bigger than just ourselves as a local fellowship. Look at 14:23. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Wow. Oh, we have to remember how important it is. The Father, the Son, the Spirit reveals the Son reveals the Father. We have fellowship with the triune God. We have fellowship, sweet, precious fellowship through the Spirit as he works in each heart and each soul. It's true communion. Jesus asked that we would have true and perfect communion with the Father and the Son. This goes right. This is really the verse I wanted to look at, this fellowship of the Trinity, verses 22 and 23 of John 17. "I've given them the glory that you've given me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them and you and me, may they be brought into complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you loved me." So you couple John 14:23 and John 17:22 and 23 and verses in between, and you see it is unity with God. The church is in blessed fellowship with the triune God. We're perfectly related to each other as the church. Every believer's perfectly related, though we're distinct, and we look at churches and denominations, but the true church is made up of perfectly related people. A divine unity given to the church by the Spirit. Think of it. The fellowship that we share with each other is Christ in me, through the Spirit, having fellowship with Christ in you through the Spirit. This is the unity. This is that divine, mystical unity. I can't describe it really, but it is Christ in you, fellowship through the Spirit, fellowshipping with Christ in you through the Spirit. And oh, there is no greater bliss or unity than within the triune God. Our fellowship is sweet. Our fellowship is inseparable. Our fellowship as believers is like no other. The Spirit unites us, and our true union is bound in the love of God, which has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit. Let's never, ever, ever look down on the church. And if you're listening to this and you have chosen to not be part of a local fellowship, I would encourage you to consider these things and find a fellowship where Christ is glorified. Christ, the Spirit reveals Christ. Christ reveals the Father. We have peace with the triune God and unity among ourselves to the glory of God. May the Lord bless you as you endeavor to be a part. Search out a body where you sense this uniting through the Spirit to the triune God. I would move to a different town if I had to find a church like that, a place where there's unity. May the Lord bless you and keep you.